In the Central African Republic, witchcraft is the explanation for every misfortune.
Witches are supposed to walk in the night, take on the form of animals, and cause harm to other people.
It's a country where everyone believes in the power of magic.
At that point, the cat transformed into a young woman.
Where nearly half the prison population are convicted witches.
And he and his guards have decided that what this witch must have done is changed their form into a rat or a snake and escaped.
And where the most vulnerable live in fear of being accused. Our journey started in the Baye province in the southwest of the country. We'd heard many people here believed witchcraft was a real and present threat to their everyday lives. In Bokoko village, we found Mala Marceline, the local traditional healer, in the middle of a healing ceremony. Villagers come to her seeking answers to unexplained misfortunes, many of which they suspect are caused by witchcraft.
The traditional healer and all her assistants have performed the ritual dance, and she's now getting ready to look into the fire and try and find out the cause of the ailments of all these people sat over there.
For a fee, healers like Marceline claim they can help with anything from family disputes to money problems and illnesses.
This lady who's lying down here has a worm in her throat, and they're about to perform a ritual to try and get this worm out.
There are hundreds of healers across the country who wield huge influence, and their authority is rarely questioned. The patient was told the worm was the cause of her sore throat, and that this ritual would cure her. There was no witchcraft suspected in this case, but Marceline said sorcery was a common problem.
Marceline, how long have you been a traditional healer for?
Marceline said she inherited what she called magic from her mother, which gave her the power to heal. Through her adult life, she claimed to have exposed numerous people who were secretly practicing witchcraft.
What is the difference between what you do and what witches do?
She told me that witches also inherited their magical gift from their mothers, but the difference was healers use their power for good.
She says there are a number of witches in this area, and the only way that people can get away from them and can get cured of the diseases they've caused is by coming to her and people like her.
Before French rule, Central Africans were animists. They worshipped nature and the spiritual world. With the introduction of Christianity, supernatural elements from both religions combined to produce a widespread belief in witchcraft. Marceline explained how she detected the presence of sorcery. She said the fire was her window to the spirit world, where she saw the images and the names of those involved with witchcraft. Halfway through the ceremony, she singled out a boy. She checked his parents weren't there, and then announced he was unknowingly being possessed by a witch and used to hurt people.
Marceline's just pulled a boy out from the crowd. She's brought him over and announced to everybody here that at nighttime he turns into a horse and he's used by other people to eat their enemies. I asked how she knows that. She said she saw it in the fire.
The boy was allowed to return to his friends. Across the country, most accusations of sorcery rely on traditional healers identifying witches using similar methods. Marceline said she'd recently exposed a witch in her village who she claimed had killed one of her patients. I was taken to see the dead man's son.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Gaston said his father Pierre was poisoned by the witch.
He tells me his father was in his mid to late 50s and was diagnosed with typhoid fever, but when the doctors couldn't cure him, he then decided that perhaps witchcraft was an explanation, as other people had told him before. Do you know who was responsible for your father's death?
He said Marceline had identified a local man, François Vopiade, as the witch, and he'd since been arrested. Despite accepting that his father had died of typhoid, Gaston still blamed witchcraft as the original cause of the illness. The Central African Republic is classed as a failed state. Ravaged in parts by a 10-year civil war, it's also landlocked and surrounded by other equally unstable and violent countries. Since independence from France in 1960, it's been illegal to use charlatanism and sorcery to harm others. Those found guilty can be jailed for up to 10 years, or even sentenced to death. We went to nearby Mbaiki prison to try and find François. We were met by the prison governor, Ambroise Poissa.
Do you and your staff have to take special precautions to protect yourselves against witchcraft?
The governor told me he didn't think he needed to take precautions.
The way he understands it, for a witch to affect you, you have to live in the same village as them and have some kind of conflict with them.
Despite this, when they arrived, all prisoners accused of witchcraft were treated as highly dangerous.
The governor's just explaining to me that when convicted witches first come to his prison, if he has no experience of them, first thing he does is put them in solitary confinement. They keep them here for 7 days and observe them. If they think the person isn't dangerous, they're then allowed to go and join the rest of the prison population. Have a look inside the room. So this chain is used to secure dangerous prisoners or potentially dangerous witches.
There are chains in
there. The governor told me he once left a suspected witch in this room overnight. In the morning, the man had disappeared.
And he and his guards have decided that what this witch must have done is changed their form into a rat or a snake, crawled through the hole, and escaped. They've never found the person since.
The logical explanation was the inmate had tunneled out, but once again, it seemed witchcraft was being blamed for something that had gone wrong. Nearly a third of the inmates here were either convicted or awaiting trial for practicing sorcery. The governor took me to meet François Vopiade, the man accused of killing Gaston's father. He'd been in prison for 4 months waiting for his case to be heard.
François, what happened when you first arrived here?
He told me he was taken to a very small cell where he was kept in solitary confinement.
He was cold, he fell ill, and he was very afraid.
I asked him what happened the day he was labelled a witch. He said the villagers had tied his hands and feet together, beat him up, and dragged him to the police station.
Did you try to prove your innocence?
François said he was too scared to deny it.
He was very afraid and became quite depressed. And as a result, he admitted the crime, hoping it would all end. Have there been other people in your village accused of witchcraft?
He said others had been accused, and they were mainly elderly people.
And as far as he's concerned, it's the same in all the villages in this country.
François told me his trial was scheduled for the following week, and he was going to plead his innocence. The Central African Republic has endured several coups, and the government doesn't fully control the countryside. Despite this, there's a universal acceptance of the witchcraft laws. We travel to the capital city, Bangui, to find out more.
I've got a copy here of Central Africa's Penal Code. This was republished in January 2010 for the first time since independence in 1960. And right here on page 22 is a section on charlatanism and sorcery. It says that people can be fined anything from £150 up to £1,500 for practicing sorcery, and they can also be imprisoned for between 5 and 10 years.
However, there's no explanation in the penal code as to what actually constitutes witchcraft. I wanted to know how the police go about tackling a phenomenon that isn't even defined. At the Central Police Station, we spoke to Captain Ngodi, one of the country's senior investigating officers.
Captain, I understand you're investigating a case of witchcraft right now, is that right?
Notre service, le service des affaires criminelles et de mœurs que je fais.
He told me he'd recently finished investigating a case concerning a woman.
La plainte d'une dame.
She woke up in the night to find a black cat lying on the bed next to her. She tried to chase it away, but it wouldn't go. And eventually she shouted, "In the name of Jesus, leave my house." At that point, the cat transformed into a young woman who she recognized as a neighbor. So, Captain, how did you go about investigating this case?
On auditionne tous les témoins, c'est-à-dire des gens qui ont vécu le fait.
He said he'd taken statements from witnesses. One of them confirmed that the girl had been seen transforming herself into an animal. As a result, she could be prosecuted for witchcraft.
Looking at the evidence you've got, do you think that's enough to prove that she turned into a cat?
He said that as a Central African, he believed the evidence was sufficient to prosecute her.
He tells me that children readily admit when they're accused of witchcraft. He says they just can't keep secrets, and so it's quite easy for him when questioning them. But worryingly, he says that even if you threaten an adult witch with death, they'll still continue to maintain their innocence.
It was the day of Francois' trial, the suspected witch I'd met in prison a week before. His case, like others I'd heard about, seemed to be based on rumour, hearsay, and forced confessions. The lack of a clear legal definition of witchcraft means the law is open to interpretation.
Bonjour.
I wanted to see how this would play out in Francois' case.
Francois's just being led over to the courthouse for his trial. And he's going to find out today whether or not he spends the next few years locked in this prison.
The court was in session, and there was a large turnout. Most defendants don't have legal representation, but a charity had provided Francois with a lawyer.
Even though Francois is one of the lucky few who's actually got a lawyer, this is the first time he's been able to speak directly to his lawyer and explain his position.
Francois and his lawyer agreed on how they would proceed. Marceline, the traditional healer we met in the village, and Gaston, the dead man's son, arrived to give evidence against Francois. The judge outlined the case, and Francois' lawyer presented his defence. Marceline was the first to testify.
It seems the traditional healer in this case was actually brought, first of all, to heal the man who was dying. She was unable to do so, and then she made an accusation of witchcraft.
Marceline claimed she knew Francois was a witch because she'd seen his name and image in the fire. She said that in her vision, she saw him turning into a dog and biting his victim. Francois was next to give evidence. Much to everyone's astonishment, he confessed to being a witch.
Francois finally had the opportunity to give evidence for himself.
He has admitted that he did turn into a dog, that he did bite his victim, and that's how the man became ill and died.
François's defence had fallen apart. In a last-ditch effort to save him, his lawyer asked the judge to challenge François to turn into a dog. The judge asked François to demonstrate his powers for the court. But François explained that he couldn't demonstrate his magic without a special leaf to rub on his body. His lawyer's final move was to declare François was mentally incapable of giving evidence. The judge said he would give his decision in a week.
François, why did you admit to being a witch?
He said he didn't have a choice because he was scared and felt alone. It seemed to him that everyone in the courtroom was against him. He thought if he told the truth, nobody would believe him, so he had to admit it.
He says he doesn't know if he's going to be able to go home or will have to stay in prison, but he's just going to wait for the judge's verdict.
D'accord. Merci. Bonne chance.
We later heard François had been acquitted, but had not returned to his home village. Nearly half of the prison population in the Central African Republic are convicted witches. We travelled north to the town of Sibou to visit the local prison. In the men's block, the accused witches were separated from the general population so he could talk to them.
So, who among you have been convicted of witchcraft? Okay. 10 of the 18 have actually been convicted, and the rest are awaiting their trials.
Their stories of incarceration seemed to stem from arguments with relatives or neighbours, which had resulted in accusations being made. Victor told me he was sentenced because he gave his nephew some money to buy a cake.
When the boy bought the cake and ate it, he fell ill, and this man was blamed.
He'd served 2 years of his 7-year jail term. It was the longest sentence of all the men here. Most of the men said they'd been beaten in their villages. They all maintained their innocence, but it seemed fear and violence had led some of them to confess. In the Central African Republic, someone is killed every week for being a witch. In some cases, victims are even buried alive. I was taken to the female wing.
Bonjour.
Yet again, the people I met told me stories of how they'd been caught up in local disputes. Geraldine told me she was a traditional healer. One of her patients accused her of being a witch. She was arrested, convicted, and sentenced to 3 years in jail.
The whole village beat her up, and she's actually got a severely broken arm. She's been in prison now for a month.
The local judge, Nares Fukpio, was responsible for convicting everyone in this prison. I asked him how he defined sorcery.
The judge has just explained to me that witchcraft is a phenomenon which is very difficult to understand, and it can't be explained scientifically. What kind of evidence do you accept in your court?
The judge said many people do confess, but in cases where they don't, he accepts other evidence.
He sometimes uses other forms of proof, such as bringing an animal in front of the accused witch. If he leaves the animal there for 5 or 10 minutes and it dies, then that's proof to him that the person is a witch. If the animal walks off alive, then they're probably not.
I found it hard to accept that these women found themselves locked up for years on this type of evidence. Everywhere we went, from the villages to the capital city, we found that rumours and accusations related to sorcery dominated everyday life.
There's a story in today's newspaper about a man who was discovered in a village just outside the capital city, who it's suspected is a witch, and there's a cartoon on the front page which shows some men with sticks chasing a shadowy figure. The article itself isn't full of details, but it does say that not a day goes by without this newspaper writing a story about witchcraft.
We went to the High Court in the capital. Even here, there was an unflinching belief in witchcraft. Over 100 witch trials are conducted in this courtroom every year. We met top judge Arnaud Dubai, who was responsible for overseeing prosecutions.
There are many cultures in Africa which believe in witchcraft, but why has the Central African Republic decided to actually create a law?
He told me witchcraft was an accepted phenomenon that was a danger to the population. He said he firmly believed in witchcraft himself and that the judiciary needed to be able to take action.
Why is there no definition of witchcraft in the penal code?
Prosecutor Dubai said the problem was with the concept of witchcraft, which was vague and confusing. He said it's difficult for judges to rule on cases.
A lot of the people who are accused of witchcraft are very vulnerable people. How does the law protect those people when they're essentially imprisoned with very flimsy evidence?
He told me the accused are at risk from the public, but the law offers them protection by holding them in prison until their trial.
And if they're found not guilty, they have the right to take the person who accused them to court. As far as he's concerned, that protects people who are in a vulnerable position.
Back in Mbaiki, another day brought another witch trial. 68-year-old Agathe Marie stood accused of using sorcery to kill her grandson and make her daughter ill. The plaintiff was her son-in-law, who told the judge that his traditional healer had had a vision after drinking a potion.
In his hallucinations, he saw a snake and a butterfly, both of which told him that Agathe Marie, the mother-in-law, was responsible.
The Central African Republic stands united in its belief that witchcraft is a real threat. Every year, hundreds of people continue to be attacked, tried, and imprisoned for a crime that isn't defined or even clearly understood. If you want to find out more about witchcraft in the Central African Republic or any other issue covered on Unreported World, please visit our website at channel4.com/unreportedworld.